Thank you, Lord. Today you have brought me, O Father, in your name to this wonderful fellowship, O God. Lord, it's been so many years, though I'm connected with Brother Gant, this is the first time you brought me here to see the people to whom he has labored all these years, O Lord, with so much of patience, O Father. And Lord, I thank you for this grace that you brought me to this place, O Father, and I'm not worthy, O God, but it is your precious blood which makes us stand, O God, before your presence, O Father.
Hallelujah.
And each and everyone who are seated over here, O Father, whatever, Lord, you wish to speak, O God, through thy servant, O Lord, sanctify my lips, O Father. Sanctify the ears of the people who are hearing, O Father. Let your grace and mercy be here in this place, O Father, that we may receive, as we are receiving the teaching rain, we may receive the latter rain of Father. And Lord, we may receive the power which is supposed to come upon the church of Father. We may receive the power in its fullness of Father. That each and everyone may shine, O Father Jesus. And give thee all the glory and praise, O Father, for this wonderful day. Bless us, O Lord Jesus, mightily. In Jesus' precious name, I ask this prayer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. May we be seated. It's really been wonderful to come and be with you people here. And, you know, it's been nearly 24 years since I know Brother Richard Gann and his ministry. As soon as I got converted and I came to the message, within 10 months' time, the Lord led me to his books in a very miraculous way. And after that, after reading the books, I learned many things from the scriptures. And today, if I stand here, I should confess that God used Brother Gant's ministry to really give me the knowledge of the scriptures. And I thank the Lord for it, and I also thank you, Brother Gant, for all your encouragements. In spite, you know, there were times I also had to go through a lot of ups and downs in my ministry, which many of you must be knowing. You know, after coming to the Lord, coming to the ministry, I had to go through a lot of problems, you see. But later on, the Lord lifted me up, and the Lord is taking me to many places in India. I've been traveling to many places and preaching the truth. So before I start with the message, I would like to just share a little testimony, because I was a Hindu. Because wherever I go, I share this testimony. This is the testimony which I share now. I have not posted on the website of Brother Gann. I have not given him the details to post. You see, being a Hindu, I was brought up in a very orthodox Hindu culture. See, Indian brothers and sisters, you must be knowing, when I say Hinduism, you know, it's like, you know, we used to go and go to the temples, and we used to give rice and sugar according to our weight, you see. And if I'm 40 kilos, then I have to give 40 kilos of rice, 50 kilos, then you give 50 kilos of sugar to the temple. So there's a weighing scale, you see, a very big weighing scale, two scales are there. So you go sit in one, and they keep the bags of sugar and rice in another scale, you see. That is how it is there in India. So I grew up in that atmosphere. So imagine, you know, but my father, he studied in a Christian college, you know. Though he was a Hindu, he was not very much into all these things. But my mother was very strong, and she brought me up in that culture. Then so it happened, a time came when my dad left the family, because my mother was the second wife, and there were some problems, and my father was a very rich man. I would say he's a millionaire even today. But a time came when my dad had to leave us. See, that was the way the Lord dealt with my life so that I can come to Christ. If my dad had been there, I don't think I would have stood here today and preached. I would have been some other worldly person or some politician or some kind of guy in India, you know, who is part of the world. But after my father left, those were the days when we were actually really started to seek the Lord. Many years back, my grandmother got converted. And she used to really pray. You see, I used to make a lot of fun of my grandmother. My grandmother, she never used to know to read and write. So sometimes, you know, when she's praying, I have always seen her on her knees from the time she got converted. Not even one day has passed, you know. She will never even drink a cup of tea without first praying before the feet of Jesus Christ. But she couldn't write and read. So sometimes her Bible, she used to keep a Bible like this, you see, and bend her knees. The Bible will be upside down. So I used to go and make fun of her and say, "Grandma, what do you put your Jesus upside down?" So then I'll take it and keep it properly, you see. And when there were times when she was fasting, she was closing her eyes and praying, you know, my parents used to, mother used to make nice, we call that as, in our place, brother, you're a Tamil brother? Yeah. Okay, nama bajji bondan solvam paarenga. Adu inge, inge eppadi solradhu adhu enna enakku theriyala. Bajja. Bajja. Yeah, it's...
What's that? Snacks.
Like yesterday, yesterday you showed me the prawn filling, you see?
Okay, right.
Something like potato fillings and something like that. Very hot it is. So she was praying, when she's praying to the Lord, you see, I just go and keep these hot things in front of her nose, you see, and tempt her to stop her fasting. So she told me, "See, you may be like a devil now, but I'm praying. The time will come, you will carry this word of God and keep moving around everywhere." That is my prayer. And you see, her prayers has actually made me come to Christ. And actually, it was like a prophecy. She said, "I'm praying that the Lord will take you everywhere. You see, and you will go and preach in His name." And so it happened after my daddy left. And that was the time when some Pentecostal pastors used to come to a home. And they said, "Please accept the Lord Jesus Christ." So we were very angry, especially I was very angry. I was a young boy, and you know, I had joined the Hinduism. There's one system, they call it as RSS, you see, in our place, where they support the Hindu ideologies. And they are very, for Hindu ideology, they are ready to kill. That kind of group, you see, I wanted to join that. And that was the time when the Lord actually was, with His drawing power, He was bringing me close to Him. I did not know what the plan and the purpose of the Lord was in my life. Then I understood. Then a time came, after actually so many years, months after my father left, and all our hope was gone. And my mother knew now my dad is not going to come back again. So one day, you see, because of my grandmother, we were a kind of mixed kind of people. Like, you know, we had a room specially built for idols. You see, I think you should have that same in China too, you see. In the places where we keep idols, we had a small photo of Jesus. You see, that is for the satisfaction to just make my granny a little happy. You see, because she's praying to Jesus. See, we also believe in your God. You see, and in our hall, in the front hall, there was a big statue of Krishna. You know, as though playing the flute. You must have seen that. And we were actually Krishna worshippers. So my mommy, that night, I still remember that night. It was 10:30 in the night. She was so much depressed. She was fed up of life. She said, "Either I and my son have to die." And then she went very angrily to the statue of Krishna. She looked at the statue of Krishna and she said, "If you are a true God, before tomorrow morning, before the sun rises, you need to prove to me." So I was just looking at my mother. I said, "Something has happened to my mother. She's gone mad. Now, all these years we have been talking to these statues. All these years we have been worshipping. No statue. Nothing has heard. You see, heard our prayers. Now, what is my mommy doing? Okay, my mother's gone into high depression now." So I said, I just waited and watching her, what she's trying to do. Then she went inside our room, which we call as the place where the idols are kept. We call it as the puja room. You see, the room of worship to the idols. So mother went to the puja room, and there she looking at the small photo of Jesus. She said, Jesus, all the Christians are saying that you are a spirit. You are in a spirit form, and now I don't know who you are. All these years I've been worshipping idols. But if you are a true God, you have to prove to us before morning. You see, and I just looked at my mother and said, Mommy, come, let's go to sleep. You seem to be too tired, you're thinking too much. Forget, I'm there, I'm a boy, I can somehow take care of you, don't worry about it. She said, no, something is telling me, I need an answer tomorrow. And we went to sleep around 11 o'clock. Next day morning, as usual, my mommy got up. First thing, after waking up, she makes a cup of tea. In those days, you know, and she will come and wake me up. And she will want to serve tea to me. See, we got up together. She said, and my old name was Arjun, you see. Shadrach is my present name. My old name was Arjun. So she said, Arjun, come here. I said, what happened? Something has happened in the house. You please come. And she took me to the hall. And in the hall, I went and saw. And I was shocked to see this. You see, the statue of Krishna was broken. As though, you know, the head was cut and it was placed down. Nobody was there in the house. When my mother prayed at 10:30 in the night, just me and my mother, just both of us there were together. I still remember that day, the statue of Krishna had just broken. And I don't know who cut their heads. Maybe the Lord had sent his angels to cut the heads. That's all. You see, and immediately my mother ran to the puja room. You see, when we went there, there was another surprise for us. All the Hindu photos, you know, you see all the glass, all the glass had a crack. All the photos, you see, they had a crack, but the small photo of Jesus just remained like that. Hallelujah! Now I don't say that even that photo is Jesus, but even that sign was not broken. You see, that was a true, that was the day I really understood. Jesus is not just one God among many gods, but He is the only Lord of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that is how I came to the truth. So wherever I go, I share this testimony, especially among the Hindus. I tell this testimony. Lord has given me the strength to boldly witness, because I'm a witness for that. You see, and after that, nearly after 6 months, I went to a Pentecostal church where I just saw a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, with his nail-pierced hands and legs, and I was just crying in the church, and I committed my life to the Lord. Then later on, I came to the truth. So that is my little testimony which I actually wanted to share. So I praise the name of the Lord today for His wonderful grace that He has given. So I would like to share on a few things. You see, when I was preparing, to be very frank, when I was preparing to come to Singapore, the first impression with many ministers there is, what are you going to preach in Brother Gan's church? Because Brother Gan is already, you know, people know that Brother Gan speaks very lot of deep things, and his church is a very mature church. I said, see, I don't know, I'm not going to go there to, just, you know, it is not a kind of competition. I grew up under his ministry. But as time went by, the Lord started to teach me certain things, show me certain things. Maybe I may speak a simple thing today, but I believe that God will touch each and everyone's heart. God will always have something. You see, even sometimes we may speak on a very deeper message, but sometimes the little things can have a very big impact in our lives. So whatever the Lord put in my heart, I would like to speak on those things today. And let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 17. I know that we are all aware of this chapter, but there is one point which I want to really speak today. That is the book of Revelation chapter 17 and the 4th verse. Okay, I'll read it. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. May the name of the Lord be glorified. Amen. Now what I want to speak here is about the missing color of Vatican. That is going to be my subject today. We all understand that, you see, a God who is the creator of heaven and earth, He designed the earth in such a beautiful way that we have no words to explain. Yes. Even if 10,000 years from now will pass, still, you know, we will be speaking, the generation to come will be speaking about the glorious things of it. It is like eternity. It goes on and on. So here we see, we know this woman is a whore and she is a prostitute church. But she has robbed some of the things of the Lord so that she can deceive the world. But God is trying to bring something, trying to show us something through this scripture. Now we know these colors are, this color is like, you know, every color has come from light. Yes. That is what we all understand. Now every color has a meaning. It is not wrong to wear, you see, every color now today, after the Lord has shed His blood, every color belongs to the Lord. Let it be black, let it be white, let it be green, let it be orange or yellow. But we know one thing, in the prophetic scriptures, God has placed certain things for us to understand. Now, when you say color, this Jewish encyclopedia, they use the word for color, that is ayin. It means an eye. It is, they don't, in the Hebrew text, it is nothing like, you know, they call it as color. They say it is an eye. The word for color is being said in Hebrew as an eye. Now, eye means, we all know that it's a kind of understanding. Eye means it's an understanding. It's something is being opened us, open to us. So let's read some scripture here. In the book of Genesis chapter 9 and the 13th verse. Yeah, if somebody from the congregation can read it, it would be nice.
Genesis chapter 9
and the 13th verse.
I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth.
Yes. Now, for the first time, God is bringing a covenant. He makes a covenant with mankind, and He's showing it in the form of colors. So we understand very clearly, God had a purpose in bringing the colors. Yes. Now, when we say color, actually, it is just like a section of electromagnetic spectrum. You see, it's just like an energy which is passing. That is what science tells us. But to us, when we say color, if I say today, what can I say about the color? Now we say, in the spiritual sight, when we say color, it means the wisdom or the understanding of God. So God is bringing, for the first time, the Lord is bringing a kind of rainbow, and through that rainbow, the Lord wants to speak something. Now, this book of Revelation chapter 17 is showing us the woman who is actually, she's having a purple and scarlet color, which speaks that she has taken some, she has robbed some color from the priesthood of Israel. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Now, I will show you the scripture for this. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Sorry. Let's go to the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and the 18th verse. Now since we know that colors are it's a sign, it's a sign of covenant, and then we know that all the colors have a base which is white. So now Isaiah has something to tell us in the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and the 18th verse.
Come now.
Yes.
Let us reason together,
yes,
said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Hallelujah. Here when we see white, we know that white is speaking about purity. It is speaking about righteousness. And the Lord is comparing this white to a snow. Because before I touch on this purple and scarlet, I just want to show some things, what meaning the Lord has kept in the colors. Now when I say white, it speaks about purity. And pure as snow. Okay, what does a snow have? Snow is a preservative power. When I say snow, you see, even if some body is dead, it is there for so many years, it has been preserved and kept. Now when the Lord says white as snow, it means He will pour His righteousness, He will pour His sanctification power in our hearts. That sanctification power, He will not just pour it for one day or 2 days, but He preserves and keeps it until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is why the Lord is saying it is like today, there in the lives of believers, there is falling and rising up. Falling and rising up. This is a part of grace, no doubt about it. But I believe, as the time is coming closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to stand in the same sanctified manner as the Lord has sanctified us. You see, they cannot be falling and rising anymore. Somebody had sent on a WhatsApp, you see, when we are children, we write in pencil because we have a rubber to erase it. But when we become big, we start to write in pen because it is hard to erase it. As days are coming by, now we say, I'm getting closer to, we believe, Brother Gann was saying this morning, we don't know this year what is going to happen. We are getting closer and closer day by day. We are getting very closer to the Lord's coming. That's why in the book of Revelation 22, the Lord said, that is the only scripture which says, behold, quickly I come. Other portions of the scriptures we know that Lord has said, oh, behold, I come. But in the book of Revelation 22, He says, behold, quickly I come. Why? Now, the scriptures have been opened. The prophecies have been opened. Those things which was hid to the prophets like Moses, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You see, all those things which have been preserved and kept for the later days have been opened. So the Lord is going to come quickly. And when we know that the Lord is going to come quickly, then we should be sure about our sanctified life.
Amen.
That is why the Lord is telling us here, come now. Let us reason together. It is like the Lord is calling His children. This scripture was written for the children of Israel. So this scripture has to be read. Today we, the spiritual believers, the spiritual Israelites, we need to read the scripture and say, when the Lord says, come now, it means the Lord, the divine Lord is calling us to His presence. Why? He wants to sanctify and cleanse us completely and preserve us in that state so that He will take us in His
presence. Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today is very, very hard. Wherever we go, I see many believers. I've seen many believers who were once shining like light. They're all completely gone to the world. I see many families have been split. I've seen many wives have gone out of the truth. I know many husbands have gone out of the truth. I know many brothers have gone out of the truth. I nearly baptized 12 members in my own family. Everyone is gone except for my mother and my sister, my cousin. Only 3 of us remain. But nearly 12 people I baptized, I led them to the Lord. We have been seeing these things as days are coming by. There is more and more of separation. The devil is bringing the temptation in such a way that people fall. Today, the greatest temptation is facing the world. The world has so much to offer that believers fall in trap and they fall into that pit of the world. So the Lord is telling, the Lord is giving us a scripture. He's saying, though Come now and let us reason together. It is the voice of the Lord calling His church, calling His true believers. Now come, come to my presence. I want to talk to you something. Come to my presence. I want to say something.
Amen.
I want to talk to you. I want to speak to you. I want to have fellowship with you. So that I will bring you closer to my presence. So that you will know the preservative power. You will know the preservative power. You will know how I can keep you in that sanctified state until my coming. That is why the Lord is telling here, come let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. May the Lord give us the grace. Let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where the Lord speaks about this. And the 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now the scripture is very clear here. What the Lord wanted to reason in the book of Isaiah is giving an explanation in Thessalonians. Now we are created in the image of God and we are like, you see, we are a body, soul and spirit. So we have to have a complete cleansing in our body, soul and spirit and preserved blameless. It means there cannot be any spot. There cannot be any wrinkle. So now is the time the sanctification power is ready to come to the church. When we sing the song, that the latter rain, we are living in the time of latter rain, or the latter rain should fall. What do you think the Lord will do? When the Lord first comes, He first sanctifies the church. He first cleanses the church. He purifies the church. And He makes the church holy, because each and everyone sitting here have to be worthy to meet, stand before the Son of Man.
Amen.
When we were sinners, we don't need to be worthy. All that we need to be is sinners. To come to the cross, you need to be a true sinner. You need to be a true repentant sinner.
Yes.
God does not expect anything from us. You can just go with any kind of filth, anything, whatever it may be. God doesn't see that. He just called us to His grace. He called us to His mercy, and we just go before the cross and we sit down before His presence and ask Him for forgiveness. We received it. And we are living in that forgiveness. But if we have to meet the Son of Man, but if we have to meet Jesus Christ in glory, then the church should be in a glorified state.
Yes.
If we have to really see a transformation in our body, then our body, soul and spirit, our spirit has to be cleansed from within. Without the cleansing power, without the power to come and cleanse our hearts and soul, nobody is going to meet the Lord.
Yes.
That's why when I preach sometime in Tamil Nadu, you see the entire message, people, I told them, with all your 1,100 messages, Brother Branham, still you could go to hell.
Yes.
If your life is not close to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You see, our lives is what it shows. So that is why the Lord is calling His children, saying, I want to make you white. I want to make you shine.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I am. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the white light.
Yes.
I am the light of the world. You people are the light of the world. You see, the light that we receive from Him, we have to express in this world.
Amen.
If Jesus was the expression of the Father, then the bride is the expression of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus showed all that the Father is, then the church has to show all that Jesus is.
Amen.
And that is how we are connected with the Father. And that is why the Lord is telling, now come. Oh beloved, today this world is actually taking the believers away from the Lord, away from the love of the Lord. I've asked many people this question. I tell them, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? They say, yes, we do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe in all the right doctrines of the of the Bible. Yes, I believe in the right doctrines of the Bible. And there's one question that many could not answer sincerely. I ask, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? You may believe. You may believe in any kind of right doctrines. You may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people believe.
Right.
But do you love the Lord Jesus Christ?
That's right.
When we love somebody, then we are ready to give our life for them. Jesus Christ loved the church. He loved his bride. So he gave his life. The disciples loved the Lord. So they gave their lives. Are we truthfully loving the Lord today? Then if you are truthfully loving the Lord, then we have to sacrifice this world and leave this world and go. When the scripture says, you see, the marriage supper of the Lamb has come and the wife has made herself ready. What is being ready? I understood this portion of being ready after I finished my, only after I started to fly. When you go to the airport, you have, a lot of security check. You receive your boarding pass. All the security check has been done. Finally, you go and sit and wait for your flight to come. That is being ready. It means ready is something that you leave everything. You have nothing. You live in this world, but you are empty with the world. You are just passing your time. You are just moving around. You are just doing the things which the Lord wants to do. All of you may be in very good jobs. God may have given you very decent jobs, decent salary. But let me tell you with my whole heart, the best job in this world is to witness about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wherever you may be, whatever job the Lord may have, everyone are not full-time ministers. God has called few people in his ministry to be a full-time minister so that they have no other job. They cannot do anything else, but they just have to depend on the Lord, live their lives, do God's work. But God has kept believers in different places. Believers are all kept in the world. You have a purpose there. God did not make you a software engineer so that you will go and sit down and just earn money. God kept you in that position so that you will be a witness to the people in that place.
Amen.
God did not make you a doctor so that you will just go and operate on patients. No. God made you a doctor so that when you are there, when you are doing your profession, when you are working among doctors, you be a witness for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Right.
Many believers have not understood that. There is no time to pray. There is no time to read the Word of God. Sometimes, you see, I always feel we should always be left in a half-empty stomach so that you will want to eat more. Whenever there is fullness, you see, then there is a kind of negligence which comes.
That's right.
There's a kind of spiritual pride which comes. Oh, I know everything. I've read many books. I've read many commentaries. I've read many. I have a lot of knowledge. I've gone to libraries. I've read the whole Christian history. It cannot be that way. When we come to Jesus, when the Lord says, come, let us reason together. God is always the higher authority. God is always the higher power. And every time when we go to Him, we go to Him new. We go to Him as though we have not learned anything.
Amen.
Every time we go before His presence, we need to know that we know nothing. We are empty. Only when we feel we are empty, God is always there to fill us.
Amen.
In the book of Acts, we see that the disciples experienced a filling of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts chapter 2. Then we see they were refilled again in chapter 4. Then we see they were filled again. Peter was filled when he was speaking to Cornelius. God keeps filling and filling and filling and again and again. And we need this filling of the Lord today. To stay in that sanctified level. To stay, to be preserved and kept in that sanctified place. And that is what white is speaking to us. And that is a important color. The next color now, I come to the same color, scarlet. Let's go to the book of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 27. Yes. And the 28th verse. You can read from... Somebody can read it from 26 to 29.
Then will you see Barabbas and
to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews!
Amen. Now we see in this book of Matthew, scarlet robe, it was put on Jesus. Now it says then, the 29th verse says, when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of Jews. And the 28th verse, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Now there's two things being said here. In the book of Matthew, actually we see it says scarlet robe. But actually John says it's a purple robe. You see, so the two gospel writers are trying to show us something in this place. Now, when you read the book of John, chapter 19 and 2 and 5, we will read the book of John, the same incident. John chapter 19, 2 and the 5th verse.
And the soldier brought out a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Verse 5. Then came Jesus forth, wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold, man.
Okay. Now when we say, now we are going to see this both these colors. Because this is what the Roman Catholic Church is decked up with. She's using these garments to show that she's a royal priesthood. It's a lie of the devil. Now when you see the purple, when John is speaking about purple, we know that purple speaks about royalty. Now this color purple is rare in nature, and the olden days, it was a very laborious task, you know, to create this color. So when you have purple, you know, it is like something like you only rich people can afford to have a purple robe. Those then later on, the Romans and the big kings started to use it as a royal birth. When a child is born in a royal family, they go and cover it with a royal robe. But this, to bring this color, it was very tough. That is what has been said in the olden times. You see, the Jewish people or the Babylonians, whoever used to make this color, this dye, to make this dye, it's a very laborious task. But after this dye is made and the clothes are dipped in that and the people wear that, then it becomes a royal color. Same way, without the suffering on this earth, we cannot see any royalty. In the book of Romans, we are going to read, I'm going to read it for you, the book of Romans chapter 8, and the 18th verse says, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Yes.
As to make the color purple, as it is a very laborious work, it's a very hard work, likewise for us to receive the royal robe of resurrection, as sons of God, we have to suffer. Many believers don't know what suffering is all about. Many believers, as I go across India, especially among the denomination people, and also, of course, in today's time, among the end-time circles, people actually don't know what suffering is all about. I always ask many believers, have you suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ? So, most of them answer is this. You see, after they became a Christian, they had a lot of problems in their home, they had a lot of financial downfalls, Or maybe they had some problem with their family. Maybe the families were split or the children went away. You see, these were the kinds of words that they usually tell. But when we say suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, this is something suffering for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In all these areas, I think Brother Gann must be knowing about his... we all know about Brother Gann, how much he has been really put to shame among all these anti-message people. When you actually go and speak the truth, people come against you because you are speaking the truth. Because they don't have the truth in them. They cannot believe. Mm-hmm. When you actually carry the truth of God, this cross is something like sorrow and joy mixed together. That when we are actually carrying this truth, we are carrying sorrow and we are carrying joy. That is what the angel told John. He said, see, when you eat it, it will be like honey, it will be sweet. But then, when it goes through your stomach, it is bitter. This is the experience that each and everyone should go for the name's sake, for the truth's sake. When you are actually going and preaching the truth, there should come people against you. I remember once, when I was in a place called Uti in near Coimbatore, Brother Gann knows about that. I went to an area to preach to a pastor who's in the faith. At that time he was in the faith. And his mother had passed away. And in India you have a tradition. The tradition is this. That somebody dies, they have this comfort meeting. So they select time for that. They have a time, like 40th day. In fact, they are all following the things of Tammuz. You see, Tammuz was 40 years old when he died, and then his mother to remember that the length days which is going on today, you see, before Easter. And that's the same thing people follow. So they had arranged for a comfort meeting, and the pastor said, brother, I had to do it for my family's sake. I want you to come and preach. And that day, the Lord opened my mouth. What the Lord is telling me to tell you, that area, nearly 100 people, everyone, most of them were, without their family, most of them were Roman Catholics. They had come over there and they were all waiting to listen to the message. And the Lord opened my mouth and my subject that day was Barabbas or Jesus. This was my subject. And in the place of Jesus, I kept the word, and the place of Barabbas I kept the Pope, and this is how the Lord wanted me to speak, and I had to speak, and I was a little hesitating in my spirit because I didn't know what the pastor will say. So then I looked at the pastor and said, brother, the Lord is telling me to speak something very hard. And you know, out of the 100 Roman Catholic people had come, so many nuns were all sitting in the front, because this sister who died, that pastor's mother who died, she was a sincere Roman Catholic lady when she was an unbeliever. You see? So they just had little love for her. She was a nice woman. Even when she was in a Roman Catholic church, she was a very good praying woman. She used to say her rosaries correctly. So they had some respect for the old times. And all the nuns were seated in the front. And the Lord is telling you to speak against the Pope. So I asked them a question. The Lord told me to ask a question. I asked them a question. I asked them, how many of you know the Prime Minister of India? Everybody lifted up their hands. And you see, nearly 20-25 men who were seated behind were all drunk, fully drunk. I said, the Lord is telling me to ask you a question. How many of you know the Prime Minister of India? Everybody lifted up their hands. Then I said, does the Prime Minister know you? They said, no, he doesn't know us. I said, how many of you know the Pope? They said, they all lifted up their hands. I said, does the Pope know you? They all just looked at me. They said, no. Then I said, how many of you know Jesus? They lifted up their hands. Do you believe that Jesus also knows you? They said, yes. Hallelujah. Then I said, today you have to accept this Jesus. And I said, the Barabbas of today is the Pope, because he was a murderer. The devil is a murderer. Vatican has destroyed souls. When I said that, all the nuns stood up. It was in Pastor Lawrence Church. Lord and sister, she kicked. You see, the nun got so angry, she just kicked the chair. Said, oh, blasphemy. He's speaking anyway. She started to shout, you know, and she wanted to create some problem. Then she called out all the nuns. Hey, get up now. This fellow is speaking all foolish things. Get up, everyone. Let's move out of this place. I made it very open to them. I said, what? How can somebody become a... What is the thing to become a pope? You give me a right answer. I asked them. How can he become a pope? What does he need to become a pope? What must he be? What should he be to become the pope? So they said, he should be a holy man. He should be a sanctified man. I said, no, to be the pope, you should be the number one criminal in the world. Yes, that's true. So that is a position. I said, you go and read in the history. You don't know about anything. You read the history to come to become a pope, what he must do. He has to fall at the feet of Satan. Do you know that? The devil even wanted to make Jesus the first pope. He said, I'll give you all the kingdom. Fall at my feet. Right? He wanted to make Jesus the pope. That is what he wanted to do. So sister, you read the scripture. See what the Roman Catholic Church has done. I said, sister, your fathers have been doing that from the beginning. They were killing the saints of God who have stood for the truth. And we are always there to die for the Lord. We are ready to give a life for the Lord. Because we know our life is in His hands. Amen. If we die today, closing our eyes on this earth is opening our eyes in heaven. Amen. So there is nothing to be afraid of. But you cannot have suffering if you don't truthfully witness to the Lord. You open your mouth and you boldly witness, you see what comes on you. And that is how we can receive the royal robe. Without suffering, there is no glory. That is a sign of having the purple color. And what does the scarlet say? Now let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 19 and 3 to 6. We read it fast. I think I should finish it. Numbers chapter 19. Yeah, 19 from 17th verse to the 18th verse.
And for an unclean person, he shall take off the ashes of the first heifer for purification for sin. And running water shall be put there in a vessel. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it upon the tent and upon all the vessels and upon the persons that were there. And upon him that touched a boat, or one slain, or one dead, or a grave, and a clean person shall sprinkle unto the unclean on the third day, and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself, and wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and shall be clean and even.
Hallelujah. I praise the name of the Lord for this wonderful grace that he has given. Now this is the color of red. Then I go to the scarlet. Now, when you see this color red, this was also a sign of cleansing. Now, that is what the Lord is showing us, that take a, with the ashes of the heifer, you need to cleanse the place, cleanse the area completely. And I believe one of these days, when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, because when we read in the book of Revelation chapter 19, we see that the Lord is coming as the word of God, and his clothes, his vesture was dipped in blood. Whose blood? His own blood. Yes. Now he is the red heifer. Once you, it has been completely burnt, and with the ashes, you have to cleanse the tent, you have to cleanse the unclean person. So when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to the earth, he is going to cleanse the land completely. Hallelujah. That is why we are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we are waiting for the time. Why is this so important? Because we need the land to be clean. So much of filthiness around. So much of uncleanness around. So much of sodomy around. And the land is now crying today. God has shown more mercy to this world than he has shown to Sodom and Gomorrah. To Sodom, there was no preacher sent before to speak about the revival. Sodom, there was no word of God given to them before. There, nobody has spoken to them about righteousness. But today in this world, millions and millions of Bibles have been printed. Right? And in this world, so many preachers have come and spoken against sin. So day by day, in spite of listening to everything, if the world is obeying, the world is disobeying the word of God, then God is going to destroy. And after destruction, He is going to cleanse the land.
Right.
Hallelujah. That is what is going to happen. That is why He is going to come. That is what is speaking about the color red. Because color red also means the judgment. You see, God's judgment coming on the land. Red also has a meaning for cleansing power. It also has a meaning for judgment. Because if you accept the blood, you are saved. But if you reject the blood, the same blood is going to be a judgment.
Right.
Hallelujah. And let's go quickly to the other scripture. Matthew chapter 27 and the 28, which I spoke about the scarlet color.
And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe.
Yes. They stripped him and put on him on a scarlet robe. Now what happened is, this color scarlet is like, once they dye the clothes, it is very hard to erase it. Now already, I told you the color purple speaks about royalty. But the color scarlet speaks about power to rule. That is the reason they put it on Jesus. They were actually making fun of Jesus, but they were actually prophesying the future.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has mysterious ways to bring prophecy. Only believers, it is not that only we believers prophesy, even unbelievers prophesy, but they don't know that they are prophesying. While we know that we are prophesying. That's the only difference. The high priest did not know that he was prophesying of Jesus. Somebody has to die, he said. That's a prophecy. Now here, if royalty, purple is the color of royalty, then scarlet is the color for the power to rule. Now Jesus Christ is going to come someday and we are going to rule with Him for 1,000 years. So it is not 100%, it is 1,000%. Hallelujah. We all know that soon the Lord is going to come. The whole world is waiting. Now they may not be waiting in faith. Now many of them, as brother was telling, you see in YouTube, wherever you go, you find a lot of teachings about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. There were times when it was so dry, I have not heard anybody preach about the coming of Jesus Christ, except for some of the believers. But an awareness has come, because there is a kind of fear in the heart of people. Jesus already predicted that before. He said in the book of Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 21 and the 26th verse. Luke chapter 21, 26th verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Do you think that actually these people are having faith that they are speaking about the coming of the Lord? No. Their hearts are gripped with fear now. Because they know the earth is going to be, the earth is completely going to be destroyed. I mean the works that has been done on the earth. All the systems that devil has created. Everything has to be destroyed.
Yes.
Jesus Christ cannot come to this earth without the things, all the filthiness, the systems are destroyed. All the systems have always stood against Jesus Christ. And how do you think Jesus can come here? That is the reason when we are raptured. Actually, we are going home. Jesus Christ is not going to keep His legs on this earth, no. He is actually calling us. We are going to meet Him in the midair. Because He cannot keep His legs on this earth. The day that He keeps His legs on this earth, Mount Olivet is going to part.
Right.
Hallelujah. That is going to be His power. He's going to display His power by destroying all that man has created. That place has been reserved for Jesus Christ. You see, and today man has brought all kind of filthiness and abomination in that holy land. It is no more holy land now. It is such a place, it has become like Sodom and Gomorrah. Last year there were nearly 2 lakhs of people have gone in the streets walking, you know, supporting gay marriages in Israel. And that is what we see when Elijah and Moses come to the ministry. We see that, you see, Egypt, it shall be the land where the Lord was crucified, will be like Egypt and it shall be like Sodom. So we are seeing those times, we are seeing those days being fulfilled before our eyes. So now the Lord, when the robe of scarlet was put on him, it means he has the power to rule. He has the power to rule every man's heart, and every knee shall bow in that day, and every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord of heavens and earth. And the time is very soon. Today, people can make fun of us. When they look at us, we are just normal people. When they look at us, we are nobody in their sight. We are fools. Hallelujah. But I praise the Lord, we are not educated fools. We have Jesus Christ. We may be a fool for Christ. We may be crazy for Jesus Christ. That is all okay in the sight of the world. But we are not. We are surely not educated fools like them. They don't know nothing about the Lord. You see? So that is what the scripture tells us here. Now there is a fear coming in every man's heart. Sometime recently, you see, in Coimbatore something happened. They have brought a big Shiva, as a, you know, Linka, they say, you see. That's a very bad thing. You know, it's a worship of the sexual organ of Shiva. And they have erected that image so big, you nearly, you know, a serpent which is, you know, which goes around it, you know, 12 feet. It happened in Coimbatore. Just 1 month before, when the preparations are being done, I received the news, you see, from one of my close friends, that Coimbatore is soon going to see an earthquake. You see, when men do things against God's will, God is already preparing. What happened to Sodom? What happened to Sodom? Already, the mountains were ready with the volcanoes. You see? And they did not know that. They did not know what was happening. And they were just living their lives because they think, oh, God is not going to see all those things. But the Lord is watching. And the Lord knows when to bring judgment. He prepares for judgment even before man could sin. Because God sees this man is not going to obey. So judgment is already prepared. So when they came to erect this Shiva's temple in Coimbatore, you see, 1 month or 2 months before that, I received the news that Coimbatore is soon going to see an earthquake. I just thought, oh, the Lord is really angry. In the same way God is going to do, every nation shall be judged. Every system in every world, every organization which has come against the power of Jesus Christ is going to be broken down. And that is what Daniel is showing us. You see, it's such a big image, but a stone which is not cut out of man's hand, the very word of God comes to destroy that image.
Amen.
And that kingdom is going to be a permanent kingdom. And we are part of the kingdom. And we will rule with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When Peter asked, Lord, we have left everything. We have left your family. We have left our family, our children. You see, Peter was actually bargaining. You see, he wanted to know, Lord, what do you have? I don't have money also. But I should have something in the future at least. You see, he was having a bargaining spirit.
Yes.
You see, but the Lord was just watching him. But the Lord answered him. But you see, the Lord answered him, but in the future the Lord made him a very big cross and told him, now hang upside down if you want to be part of the kingdom. When we bargain with the Lord actually will give us what we want and what we ask. But then we have to suffer the consequence.
Yes.
You see, but the Lord told Peter, you will be ruling with me. So the Lord is trying to show Peter, yes, you will rule with me, but you have to suffer with me. Yes, you are going to be children. You are going to be your children of the royal blood. You are children of the royal blood. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the royal blood. His blood was the royal blood. You are the children born of that blood. But you have to go through suffering. Hallelujah. Now this Roman Catholic Church has taken these priesthood colors and they are trying to hide it. Brother, I would want you to show the scripture, I mean the image. Now this is the picture of the cardinals in Vatican. You see, they are dressed in scarlet and they are dressed in scarlet and purple. But then, that was my message, was the missing color of Vatican. Right? That something is missing. I just looked at the scripture. When you watch this image, you see purple, you see scarlet. Okay? But then behind I saw something. I saw something is black. Who are these people? What are they doing over here? So then you understand from the scriptures, God never, because see, they are not like us. As I told you before, you can dress as you want. You can choose whatever color you want. There is no problem. As long as we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ inside us, within us. But they are showing the world that they are the royal priesthood. And they are showing the world that they have the oracles of God, or they have the original word of God. Then why are they dressed up in black? The point is, most of the cardinals who are inside, who are dressed up in this black, they are Satan worshippers. You see? Who are dressed up in the black. What is the priesthood color? When the Lord told Moses to make a dress, he chose the color red, scarlet, he chose the color purple, white and blue. Instead of blue, they are wearing black. Now what is the meaning of this? Why are they? Because we know that this color, black, the black is the darkest color in the Bible. And we know Lucifer, he had the light in him. But we know, just like the black hole, he sucks out all the light, he sucks out all the other planets which is close to it, but still he cannot give light.
Right.
You see? Lucifer is just like this black hole. So, the Lord gave him some light, the Lord gave him the light to walk on this earth, and we know after he was destroying himself. See? It was like a self-suicide. Because God gave him the light so that he will show the light to light. You know, he will express the Lord's glory. Instead of that, he started to express himself. Now, the color of blue. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 1. This is where I found the color blue. Let's see some. Okay, I will, one by one, I'll show you. Ezekiel chapter 1 and the 26. Yeah, somebody from the congregation can read it.
And the firmament that was over their heads,
yes,
the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone.
Yes.
And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it.
Yes. Now Ezekiel sees the vision of the word of God here. He sees the vision of the future, how the Lord is going to express himself. So it was like a sapphire stone. So now you can come to Exodus chapter 24. Just 2-3 scriptures I'll give you. Then I'll explain Exodus chapter 24 and the 10. Exodus chapter 24:10.
Heap of wood.
Yes.
Kindle the fire. Consume the flesh. And spice it well. And let the bones be burned.
Yes. You can read Exodus chapter 28, 3 to 5. Yeah, 3 to 5.
And God shall speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom that lead me, make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office.
Hallelujah.
These are the garments which he shall make a blessed plate and an ephod and a robe and an embroidered coat, a mitre and a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, and his son, and they may minister, that they may that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and make fine linen.
Yes. So priesthood garments, God had given them this specific color to show what work the Lord is going to do in the future through Jesus Christ. You see? Now these people, these liars who claim to call themselves as the royal priesthood, as the priests of God, they have chosen all these colors, but they left blue. They purposely left blue. See, Vatican has some knowledge about, because devil also has the knowledge about the word of God. Purposely they have left blue. They did not encourage blue. Why? Why is it so? For so many years after this organization formed, you see, they formed their clergymen or their priests and the different kind of thing. Why did they leave this color? They are so specific in all these things. Why did they leave this color blue? Because there is an answer for us. That's what we read in the book of Numbers, chapter 15, 28 to 40. And I think, Numbers 15, 38 to 40.
Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that make fine, and bid them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generation. And they shall put upon the fringe of the borders a ribband of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember the commandments of the Lord, and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye should be, after which you used to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your Lord God.
Hallelujah. The reason why the Lord gave them the color blue was so that they may remember the commandments of God. See? The righteousness of God. And that is where we see Vatican does not want to obey the word of God. Why have they taken that color? They don't want to obey the word of God. They knew it. Because that's a sign. Today, you know, they use this color blue maybe once in a year for Virgin Mary. On the festival of Virgin Mary or something they have. That's the time some of the priests wear blue. But they never encourage the priests inside the Vatican to have blue. So, this is the missing color of Vatican. Even when you read the book of Exodus chapter 24 and the 10th verse, see, 24 and the 10th verse I'm going to read, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in its clearness. So color of blue is speaking about God himself, his very feet. And where is that feet today? His feet is in speaking the truth of the gospel. Hallelujah. That is the feet. That is the feet today. We, each and everyone sitting over here. You see, Paul is saying, how beautiful are the feet of the one who preaches the gospel. So the truth today, that is how they have taken Acts 2.38. They replaced Acts 2.38, you see, with Matthew 28:19. And today, in my place in Coimbatore, many denomination people, slowly they are preaching about baptism in Jesus Christ's name. Because they know now, the Lord's judgment is going to come soon. They are aware now, the Lord is going to come soon. So some of the pastors are saying, you see, many pastors have been baptized in Jesus Christ's name. They go and, tell the people, see, I've been baptized in Jesus Christ's name. If you want to be baptized, you get baptized. I have saved my soul. You see? Aren't they wipers? Like how John the Baptist, you said, you wipers, he said. Huh? They don't have to. The man who truly repents will see that he brings his brother to the Lord in the same faith and truth.
Amen.
What kind of selfish people they are? So Roman Catholic Church, they changed the doctrine of baptism in Jesus Christ's name. Roman Catholic Church cut God into pieces. Nimrod and Tammuz and Semiramis, all are mixed together in the Trinity. You see, they called themselves as Holy Roman Empire when they were unholy Roman Empire. They call it as a Holy Trinity when it is an unholy Trinity. Because of the color. That is the reason they choose the color black. They want to cover up the truth. They want to bring darkness. They want to cover blind. They want to make the people blind from the knowledge of God. They want to make the people blind from the knowledge which comes from the face of Jesus Christ. They want to cover up the glory of God. And that is the missing color of Vatican. They cannot see the truth as it is. And in today's time, you know, the ecumenical movement is working so fast. It has come to a place. It is so close. It is so close today. You see, especially in my place, they all have started this yoga. You know, all big yoga gurus have come. Yoga gurus know nothing about any religion. You go and ask a yoga guru, he knows nothing about Islam, he knows nothing about Christianity or you know, Hinduism or Buddhism. Yogasana, they just go and sit down, they say, oh, the Kundalini, they say, that is the, you know, from your backbone, they are trying to take you to a trance, where they say that, you know, you can go to Mukti, that is, you know, you go to heaven. You see God, that you don't see another God, you see yourself as God, that is the teaching. The spirit of Lucifer has come. So in yoga classes, yoga gurus have come. So you see, many Muslims gather to that yoga. Many Christians gather to that yoga. Many Buddhists go to that yoga. So slowly all the ecumenical movement is joining together. But God has given us the revelation. Through these colors, today we are able to see that God has kept us in the right place. We have, where is the feet of God today? It has been kept in the bride. We are the ones who are actually carrying the feet of Jesus Christ. It means we are carrying the very work of the Lord, which is blue in color, which is full of righteousness, which is full of purity. So dear brethren and sisters, I once again thank the Lord for giving me an opportunity to speak whatever the Lord had put in my heart. Maybe my language must not have been so perfect, but whatever I spoke from my heart. And you see, and I believe that God must have, you know, given each and every one whatever it is necessary. So I thank the Lord for this grace, and please pray for my Cambodia ministry. Actually, this is my first time I have left my country, India. Now, for the past, in 2011, New Year service, there was a prophecy, very strong prophecy in the church that God opened something called as India Vision to me. I started this thing as India, the prophetic awareness. I carry the message of prophetic awareness, and wherever I go, I openly. You see, I may be preaching among a Pentecostal group. God opened a door for me among denominational people. Because for a long time I've been praying, Lord, there needs to be a breakthrough that people need to know. And you know, all these pastors are very big wolves sitting over there, and you're covering the children of God. There are souls in that, there are seed inside. So I said, Lord, you, until you send me inside, how can I go and preach? So God opened new doors for me. Many preachers now, though wherever I go, they know that I preach, I believe baptism in Jesus Christ's name. But this prophetic awareness seems to, you know, everyone wants to know what is going to happen in the last days. So God gave me a grace to go and witness. I've been traveling from different states. Recently I had been to the Andaman and Punjab, Himachal, Haryana and so many other places. And after my Cambodia ministry, as soon as I go, Andaman is waiting for me. You see, because in the month of May, I have to be in Andaman once again. We had a pastor's conference. And in the pastor's conference, you see, in the history of Andaman, no pastor, because Methodist Church rules Andaman. And I just speak this thing and I'll finish it. Methodist Church, actually, they are ruling Andaman. They have nearly 8 to 9 big, strong denominations in different islands. And I got a chance, you see, one of the elders from the Methodist Church, they came to know about my ministry, and they had called me, and we had arranged for a pastor's gathering. And in the pastor's gathering, see, about 50 pastors had come, that including lady pastors, you see, because they believe in woman ministry. So nearly 50 pastors had come over there. And in the history of Andaman, the pastors never sit more than half an hour or 1 hour. 1 hour you give message, and after that they need something to eat. They need some tea, they need some chai or biscuit, you see, or they need food, you know, all these things were there. So we decided, and you know, I already told Brother Gan about that. You say, "Brother, this is going to be the condition." So what we did was we made an arrangement to give them food. I told us, "Okay, we'll prepare good food for you, whatever food you want. You want chicken, you want mutton, you can have. But you need to listen to the word of God. If you come there to eat, okay, you can eat after I finish preaching." You see, and after I started preaching, you see, I showed them clippings. I spoke in my language, Tamil, you see. And there was a Hindi translation going on, because Andaman, the language is, the official language is Hindi. So Hindi translation was done. And one pastor who translates for all the big Tamil Nadu, you must all heard about Paul Dinakar and all these people, you see, famous evangelists. That's the pastor who translated for me. And they told, "Brother, today you made history, because for 3 hours the pastors did not move from their seats." Hallelujah. Because first time they are listening to this. I took from the history of, you know, Nimrod, and all the history and all the facts of the Bible, you know, how the kingdoms came and what was the intention of every kingdom. When you put all the facts according to the history, 3 hours. In between, you know, the pastors were serving tea. So they said, "No, we don't want tea. We want to listen to that." You see, and after the meeting was over, I said, "Brother, you have created history, Nandaman." I said, "It is Christ who has created history." He said, "The real breakthrough, because no pastors will ever sit like this and listen. But now they want you back. So, so this time when I go, I want to preach on baptism in Jesus Christ's name, and regarding the Godhead and all the truths, you see. So they want to arrange for a bigger crowd where I can go and preach, and I'm going to do it public. You see, so the pastors told me one thing, "Brother, today you, pastor, you have spoken about Pope, and we are ready to stand with you. But when the time of trouble comes, please see that you don't run away." You see, they have come to that level, you know. They have come to that situation. They really want the people to know the truth. So I just pray that you pray for me and for my ministry. You see, I'm just, for a long time I've been praying for revival. And because of this Branhamites, the Lord has to delay his... because they are like, you know, their doctrines are like all demons moving around, you know, not permitting the true light to go. But we have just been praying. There's a prayer revival which has started in our church. Like youngsters, we have started to, all the youngsters gather and they fast and pray. You see, and we give, like, you know, like a chain prayer. 24 hours continuous prayer for 1 week we have. You see, 1 hour one brother prays, then he will call the other brother. We give the number. You say, "Brother, I finished my prayer, now you start." So from night 12 o'clock to the next day 12 o'clock, you know, we have a continuous prayer. So we are praying. You say, "Lord, India should see a revival. I want India to sphere. If you are given a mission, then you have to break all these chains of darkness. So please do hold me in your prayers." And thank you, Brother Gan, for your encouragement and giving me your pulpit so that I will give the word. So God bless you and God bless your ministry. We have been regularly praying for your ministry. Always I remember, because one thing from my side I know, you see, when a minister of God is taking a burden, and when a minister of God goes to a place, see, for example, if a minister of God is dealing with one soul, and that one soul has 10 demons troubling him, imagine if the minister of God reaches hundreds, 1,000 souls, how many demons are there? Now, Brother Gan's ministry has reached all over the world, so many demons are now against Brother Gan and his ministry. Hallelujah. So we need prayer. The church has to pray. Each and everyone sitting here, you will have to pray. It is not just the burden of Brother Gan, it is our burden. We have to carry the burden. You see, each and everyone, you should take some risk in bringing some soul. "Lord, I need to bring a soul to the church today. I need to save a soul today. I need to bring it to your presence and see that that soul is saved." So you see, each and everyone should start this prayer. We have started this prayer in our church. And now, by this time, my church will be praying for me. They said, "Pastor, you just... forget everything and just go and preach. We are praying for you." Hallelujah. So I hope soon the Lord will bring and unite all of us together, that we will really have a revival, not just in India, not just in Singapore, but all over the world. The bride will unite, and really, you see, we will chase all the demons out before we go up. Hallelujah. May God bless you all. Let's have a word of prayer. Blessed Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. You gave us this word, oh Father. You gave us this thing, oh Father, in whatever, Lord, way that I could communicate. Lord, I know that you are a God, you communicate to the Spirit of Father. It is not the man's word of Father, it is not the Lord, the grammar that we have, but it is the life of the Spirit of Father that which we carry, that we pass it on to one brother, to another brother, and that brother to another sister, Father. Lord, I just pray and I thank you, Lord, for giving me a chance to witness for you today. And Lord, I just pray this ministry, oh Lord, all the labors that Brother Gann has done all these years, oh Father, patiently, oh Father. So many people have come, so many have gone, oh Father. But Lord, we know that you are going to bring a revival, and we know that it is going to come soon, and we know that the bride is going to see this, oh Father. And Lord, if the prophet has said, if there is going to be another generation, she will be a super seed, then we are going to be the super seed, oh Father, who will see your super power, oh Father. And Lord, break down all the powers of darkness and bring so many souls and bring a harvest, oh Father. Yes, Jesus Christ. Bless us, oh Lord. Bless each and every hands who are laboring, who have heard this message. Bless each and every one. When they go and speak, oh Father, when they speak, let that power be in their lips, oh God. Let that power from on high touch their lips, oh Father. That when they just say one word, oh God, the people will be touched and they will come inside and get saved, oh Father. Amen. Jesus. We are waiting for such a kind of revival soon, oh God. And we know that you will give it, oh Father. Thank you for this grace and thank you for this mercy. I commit everything, oh Lord, into thy precious hands. In Jesus' precious name I ask this prayer. Amen.
Let me add something here. Go sit down with your brother. Take it in the rest of the world. Take it. Your note here?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me add something. Let me add something to the colors. The color blue in the Bible speaks of the heavenly, because blue is where the sky is. That's what it speaks of. And when you don't see the blue in that Vatican gathering, as you can see, it tells us one thing: they're not in heavenly places.
Yes.
They're in a place of darkness. You know, though, I mean, I'm wearing black, all right? I'm not in a place of darkness. But the Bible has symbolism as far as the spiritual understanding is concerned. When the Bible talks of light, it talks about the eye. In the Hebrew word is ayin, means to the brightness, the fountain, the light, the brightness. And there's one thing about these eyes. And when God set the rainbow in the sky window, it's a covenant with his people. And all those seven colors in the rainbow is actually only from one single light source. And that is from the Lord himself. Yes. Whatever, of course, is set up in the physical universe and then the world that we see today. But we take the Bible as that light of God, his word. So that's why the word of God teaches us about all these various colors. Alright, and I thank God for that, for a wonderful message. And if you have read Brother Shadrach's testimony, you know, actually at that time when I knew him back then, and he was a very young man, and of course young men, as young men people do, he has another friend, Stanley, and how is he?
He's all gone to the world.
I see. And they were two good friends, and then after that something happened, they were caught up with another preacher and all that. You can read it on the website, and being deceived by false prophet. And then finally, you know, how the Lord put him back, and then came back to the same church and the family that he used to fellowship with, and married the daughter of the brother there. Well, he has a lot of trial, yes. And, you know, we have helped him the best we have, and the wife went to a stage of the last few years ago with all that unfortunate event about the water in the office. Was drinking that, you know, and how that she got infected. And she also, the wife also lost a child, you know. So, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And we can only say, blessed be the name of the Lord, his will be done. Whatever trials, whatever sorrows and pains that God put upon us, allow it to be put upon us, because Satan is always trying to challenge God and trying to damage our life and our relationship with the Father. You know. Is that right? And I said the same thing, what happened to Job? We all know the famous story there. You see. But as a minister, of course, we all have a lot of trial, a lot of sorrow and burdens that we carry. And I'm glad that Brother Shadrach came back to the Lord in all these years, and God gave him a ministry. Just like Brother, in Africa, Brother James Verum, or Brother Andrew Peary, and even Brother Israel, who went over to Cambodia. That's quite a challenge to leave the country and move over and live in another country and be a missionary, you know. And he, Brother Israel, have gone through a lot of burdens that he carried. And that's why we want to share as a family of God right here, to take the burdens of those brothers and sisters over there in other places and try to shoulder it as much as we can to help them. We do whatever the Lord has put upon here in this fellowship. And like he said, people come, people go through trials, frustration, emotional distress, whatever it is, you know, and we get frustrated, we throw our hand in the air, and we just don't come for fellowship, or whatever the reason be. And some of them, of course, unfortunately went back to the world, and they don't hear about Jesus at all. They are those that I know. You know? And as to the challenge of when you preach the truth, yes, we are, as minister, we want to preach the truth. We do not want to compromise. Is that right? Yes, they want to kill him, of course. They want to beat him up. And you know, Brother Jim, brought a nice testimony. You probably heard it, but it's not on the website. And when he was preaching over there one time, I think he was in Congo, and while he was preaching, just a couple of minutes, and somebody took Deacon, lift him up and throw him out the door, literally. Throw him out. And throw his back out too. You see? And when I was in Malawi, I was invited to preach, and I went up, stood there, in fact, I think it's only about less than 15 minutes. The pastor came up, pissed it up, you know, and started to attack me from the pulpit. And the same thing happened also in Nigeria. After I preached a message, the pastor criticized me, run me down, all because they are not in the truth. And you are put on the stage where they crucify you. And like those Nigerian brothers said, Brother Gan, you are the first person we have seen being crucified by this man. You know. And I said, yeah, I want to get out, but I couldn't get out, you know. So I was trapped and they crucified me right there. So when you preach the truth, you'll become a target. Whether by so-called believer or brethren of the same truth, you know, they claim to believe in the same. Like they hold to the same, you know. But they know. The denomination has crucified me. You know. That's all right. Because after all, our life here on earth is not ours. We are prisoners of Jesus Christ. We do whatever we're supposed to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we let us hold on to the truth of God, the standard of God, and let us walk in the light which He has given us. We can never really be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I mean, there are many people that are just followers of Christ. They are not disciples. There's a difference between a follower and a disciple. A follower is a tag along. Okay? Bad thing happened, get out. Good thing coming back, jumps back. But the disciple, no. Through thick and thin, whatever the problem be, the disciple learn, the disciple follow the footstep, every footstep that the master need, and they follow through. That's what a disciple is. Amen.